This is an iHeart podcast.
Pro Woche bis zu 50 Euro zusätzlich sparen. Mit der Netto Plus App. 10% Rabatt auf deinen Einkauf sichern. Dazu Payback-Punkte sammeln und sparen. Mach mehr Plus mit der Netto Plus App.
We're going to talk about cultural rot, suspending disbelief. What's going on in California? All kinds of lawfare stuff to discuss with Julie Kelly. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, let's talk finally in a very frank way about these California wildfires. I told you last night we weren't going to dig into it. We're going to dig into it more tonight, but not really in a specific way. I'm not going to break down the fire hydrants and the water pressure and the brush. We'll get to all that. But I'm going to tell you a little story first. And this is going to come back to the California wildfires in America, so just stay with me. So we went to Rome for Christmas. I'd never been over there, seen Italy, and that stuff. We went to Rome just so I could nerd out on history stuff. And we went and did this touristy thing called gladiator training. I kid you not. And at one point in time, they're teaching you how to fight, and you have these wooden swords and things like that. And these guys are serious. They compete, actually, as gladiators still. Did you know that still happened? I didn't know that still happened. But apparently that still happens. No, nobody dies anymore, but it's that kind of thing. And at one point, you do a final fight where you're gonna square off against somebody there. And my boys, James and Luke, they squared off against each other. And the guy's refereeing. And he tells them right before they fight to throw away their wooden swords and pick up real swords. They do. And he lines them up and he says, fight. And I'm watching. My wife is watching, my mom is watching. Nobody stopped it. No one stopped it. And as soon as they start walking towards each other, he says, stop, 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 that was a joke. We're not gonna use real swords. But why didn't anybody stop it? This guy could have been a psycho. I didn't know this guy. Maybe he was going to have my son start hacking away at each other. I didn't know any better. Why didn't I stop it? Because I had it built into my psyche. I had it built in that surely someone would stop it. Surely he's not serious, but I didn't know that. And he actually said, in all my time doing this, no one's ever stopped me. No one with that joke. So let's talk about California wildfires. This is going to apply to so much more than California and wildfires. Let's talk about our society, the society in which we live. Here in the United States of America, we have lived with plenty for the entirety of your life, of my life. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you're 95 or 5, the fire hydrants always work. The American military is always the best. America's federal law enforcement can always stop a bunch of deranged jihadis if they were to declare an open war here inside the country. There are things that have always existed. The grocery stores, the stocks, the shelves have always been stocked. We are accustomed to everything working all the time. And so when we wake up one day and we see, wait a minute, they can't put out wildfires? It looks like a scene from a horror movie. Have you seen the pictures today? Look at this stuff, the video, the pictures. Just whole neighborhoods wiped out, devastated. And we're finding out all these things. What happened? How could this happen? What do you mean? We're undermanned, there's no water. How could this happen? Well, we are experiencing right now something people sadly have experienced many times throughout the history of the world. When you get comfortable as a people, when the roads are always paved, the shelves are always stocked, fire department is always able to stop the fire, when you get used to living in a functional society, you tend to neglect it. It's just human nature. Things work, so I don't have to get involved. And then evil people, they will take power and they will begin to hollow you out from the inside. And you don't know, I don't know, because we're not paying attention. After all, the roads are paved, I still have bread. What's the big deal? The Wi-Fi is working, I'm on my phone right now, who cares? But you wake up one day after having been hollowed out for the longest time and things don't work anymore. What do you mean we can't stop the fire? What? Always been able to stop the fire. But these things don't just happen, you see. They happen because evil people take over positions of power and they pillage your society. And that has happened to us across our society. And this is something, none of this stuff is surprising to people familiar with California, familiar with how the politics run there. Remember when Donald Trump went on Joe Rogan and said this?
They said, we have no water. I said, do you have a drought? No, we don't have a drought. I said, why don't you have no water? Because the water isn't allowed to flow down. It's got a natural flow from Canada all the way up north. Water, mm-hmm. More water than they could ever use. And in order to protect a tiny little fish, the water up north gets routed into the Pacific Ocean. Millions and millions of gallons of water gets poured. I could have water for all of that land, water for your forests. You know, your forests are dry as a bone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Dangerous.
That water could be routed. You know, you could have everything. Oh, not only dangerous, billions of dollars a year they spend on forest fires. And, you know, there's a case with the environment. They're not allowed to rake their forests because you're not allowed to touch it. And all they have to do is clean their forest, meaning rake it up, get rid of the leaves, get rid of, you know, leaves that are sitting there for 5 years. And
we'll certainly,
you know,
get rid of the dead fall.
And get rid of the trees that have fallen.
Yeah.
That, you know, are like.
Well, let me ask you something. Why weren't these things done? That's basic stuff. I grew up in Montana where forest fires are a way of life. Cleaning out the dead stuff, it's basic stuff. Why weren't these things done? Because evil enviro-communists took over critical positions of power in California, and the people didn't know and didn't care. Why are the firefighters who are performing admirably, from what I understand, why are they undermanned? Why are they understaffed? Well, LA just had an election. They elected Karen Bass. Karen Bass walked in and promptly cut $17.6 million in 1 year from the fire department. And speaking of the fire department, have you seen the fire department in LA?
Super inspired.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? I said, I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. She's quick to point out that doing so has a greater purpose, attracting the best and brightest for the job.
They feel included, they feel valued, and they feel part of a cohesive team.
The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
I chose to speak out pretty much by myself about the issues of sexism and racism within my department.
We are hosting our new employee orientation, and our focus is to teach our new employees for them to understand cultural competency, identify implicit and unconscious bias, and be aware of the importance of us having a diverse and inclusive workforce.
The Los Angeles County Fire Department will be recognized nationally and possibly even globally as an agency that was very serious about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and made some substantive changes so that everybody could feel safe and feel included.
Why are they undermanned? What type A male who wants to go into hell wants to join an organization that talks like that? You see, this is what I mean. The DEI aspect of it is just one aspect of it. This is what I mean. The hollowing out of our society. And I need to explain, because I could go on and on and on about this. I need to explain, this is not just about Los Angeles or the fire department or California itself and the water. This is happening all across our society. Entity after entity after entity. I asked a friend after that terrorist attack on Bourbon Street, I asked several friends, if there are a bunch of jihadi cells who are about to be activated, and I'm not saying there are, but if there are a bunch of jihadi cells who are about to be activated in America and they're about to go on a rampage massacring as many people as humanly possible, the FBI can stop it, right? And to a man, they all said, no. Not anymore. The good people left. Those guys are gone. Bunch of DEI desk jockeys. The military. Let me ask you something. How much do you know about the war games we've played with China? I mean, China being our opponent. We play war games, the military does, trying to figure out we're going to do this, they're going to counter with this, we're going to do this. Do you know the results of our war games with China? We lose every one. It's not like we lost one. Uh-oh, we've lost them all. The hollowing out of your society as the people neglect it and the evil people pillage it from within, and you don't know until it's too late. You don't know until you wake up one day and the fire hydrant doesn't work anymore. And this is why we have to get up, get involved, dig in, not just with the sexy things, your local school board, your local water board. These local positions of power are occupied by evil communists pillaging your country, and you don't know and you don't think it matters until the fire hydrants stop working, and there goes your home up like a tinderbox, and you don't have fire insurance. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Mike Cernovich lives in California. He's been ranting about these things. We're gonna talk to him in more detail about them in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's talk about sleeping well at night, because you may have a hard time with that after what we just talked about. That's why I have Dream Powder from Beam. You see, I'm well aware there are a million things that can help you sleep. Prescription things, over-the-counter things, just take this and you'll sleep. What do every single one of those things have in common? You wake up and you feel like garbage. The point of sleep is so I can wake up and feel rested. All of them, you wake up and you're groggy. Dream Powder doesn't do that. It's a cup of hot chocolate, but it has melatonin and things like that, and it's delicious. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. They have a bunch of flavors. Sip on a cup of hot chocolate before bed. Sleep like a baby and wake up feeling great. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Plus, plus, plus. Pro Woche bis zu 50 Euro zusätzlich sparen. Plus, plus, plus. Mit der Netto Plus App. 10% Rabatt auf deinen Einkauf sichern. Dazu Payback-Punkte sammeln und sparen. Mach mehr Plus mit der Netto Plus App.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is the situation with the water? Obviously, in Palisades, ran out last night in the hydrants. I was talking to the firefighter on this block. Yeah. They left because there was no water in the hydrant here.
The local folks are trying to figure that out.
Okay. For a man who wants to run for president, probably not a great thing to put on camera. Joining me now, somebody intimately familiar with California, the beauty of it, and what these scumbags have done to it, my friend Mike Cernovich, author, filmmaker. He's actually in the OC, Orange County, as we speak, I believe. Okay, Mike, what's going on? Not internet rumors and crap like that. You're always getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. What's happening out there? How has this gotten so bad?
Well, first, I would like to thank Gavin Newsom for healing racism by showing the great incompetence of a white man. That way we don't have racialized politics destroying this conversation, because, and that clip, he waves his hand, I don't know, F it, where's the water? So I would like to thank him and Karen Bass for healing racism and showing people that this is Democrat supermajority rule. This is DEI, because Newsom's a Nepo baby DEI hire via Nancy Pelosi. So he's every bit the DEI person as everyone else. But, other than him healing racism, it's been a catastrophe. And luckily in Orange County, They don't allow arsonists to run wild. They don't allow homeless encampments. So here's what happens every time we have these California wildfires. The narrative becomes climate change, and then a couple months or a year later, you find out it was an arsonist. So in California, an arsonist got out after 17 years in prison a couple years ago and then did the last fires. And Andrew Huberman, who is one of those health and fitness lifestyle podcasters, had a video. There's a video right now of arson happening in Santa Monica. So what's happened, and I know that I'm sounding nuttier every year, and I understand that I sound like a crazy person, and honestly, I don't care anymore. Well, we need to just make it legal that arson is right. Okay, we need to return to the Code of Hammurabi and realize that when you allow, or in New York they call it broken windows policing, when you allow small crimes, you get big crimes, right? That's the cultural breakdown that we have right now, which is, because my wife, I felt bad because I was a little short with her. She goes, arson, I don't understand. What do you mean? And I was like, babe, evil exists. You know, and I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to like snip at my wife. But it was just like frustrating for people who are intelligent to not have an understanding of evil and how prevalent evil is and how evil surfaces when you don't hang the horse thieves, when you don't thieves, when you don't, I mean, I don't want you to show me and I'll be careful, but when you don't allow to be used for, you know, mere property crimes, then when you have a catastrophe happen, you have all this criminal DNA running around. And everybody's shocked. Well, why would people commit? Because they're criminals. I don't understand. You know, I don't get it.
Mike, why are there so many arsonists? And I ask it this way because in Montana, I know we went through this a lot, and lots of times if you find these people, they end up being the greenie types, you know, trying to start a forest fire for whatever different reason. Obviously, everyone has heard the rumors by now. Are we dealing with homeless druggies? Are we dealing with greenie types? Just flat out arson guys who like to burn things like a child? And I realize that's kind of a vague question, but I am curious, is there some motivation here?
There was a fire or two back. It was a fire department person, actually, someone connected to the fire department. So here's the problem when you allow lawlessness, and which is what Soros County does and what LA County does. Okay, is it a China sabotage team? Could be. Is it a random criminal? Could be. Is it an accidental fire with all the druggies? Remember, the 10 freeway burned down because there were all these mattresses and other fire hazards, and the druggies were cooking meth or lighting their crack pipes. A fire happened, and then the whole overpass in the 10 freeway breaks down. So this is what I mean by why I know that I sound radical, and I'm more radical than I've ever been politically, because I just confess that tolerance doesn't work. I confess that my libertarianism of many years ago is long gone and sounds childish, and that I look back with it with a great deal of embarrassment, that I realize you can only have quote-unquote libertarianism when it's propped up on law and order, right? You can only allow people maximum freedom when it's propped up by the far right, by a strong right-wing government. Then you can say, oh, just let people do what they want. Well, sure, because they're afraid of consequences. They're afraid of the hardcore consequences that the right would bring, the hardcore enforcement of the law. So as it is now, people are just wild in and out. And as you saw in that Huberman video, this isn't a racialized thing. It looked like a very diverse, and I mean not the left-wing diverse, it looked very diverse. You had white guys, you had Latinos, you had black, everybody's just out there. Hey, let's just start fires, right? I mean, why not? So you have this criminal element that has to be removed. And unfortunately, a lot of people like myself were, had these embarrassing views, this embarrassing, you know, libertarian views that we should be ridiculed for having ever had, right? We should be ridiculed and mocked for it. And it's unfortunate to see people like Rand Paul, who I admire a great deal, that it'll kind of surface, right? And you realize, Rand, you're just wrong here. You can't have libertarianism except as the icing on the cake. And the cake is the Code of Hammurabi. The code is a very extreme law and order system where people are terrified to start a fire, because if you start a fire, you're gone. It should be just legal. So if it had been legal, an arsonist, whether it's China, a druggie, or someone else, they wouldn't be lighting these fires, right? We wouldn't even have to be having this conversation.
Yeah, I had a guy tell me one time that he had to spend some time in Franco, Spain. And he said, look, Jesse, it was the type of place where you're going to go to the clink if you get caught with a bag of weed, but it was also the type of place where you could go into the Capitol and leave your car unlocked in the middle of the night and no one's going to touch it, and it was very, very clean.
Dubai is that way, and Singapore is that way. And then you see these libertarians say, well, why don't we have the immigration system of Dubai? Well, I'll take that, but if that means you insult the king, if you insult the people, then you're booked, or if you commit a so-called petty crime. Here's where, I don't know, maybe we're going too far afield, but I think they're connected. The conditioning that I had to reject, the embarrassing libertarianism that had infected my mind, was that there's such a thing as a property crime, right? There's such a thing as a petty crime. And the answer is, no, there isn't. There isn't. That's just what people can get away with. And people are going to get away with larger crimes if they can. So if you don't enforce the law hard on these so-called petty crimes, then you're going to get arson because you leave this criminal element running free. And everybody thinks, well, now's the time to just be a criminal and run wild. So all these problems are the fault of Democrats in California, but also the libertarianism that infected the Republican Party and, to my great embarrassment and shame, had once infected my own mind.
Yeah. Like most dudes out there, I'm obsessed with crime, organized crime stories, Italian mafia, cartel, things like that. And as I read books on it and dig through it, I don't know that I can think of a single one that didn't start out as a thief. Every single one of them started out doing property crimes. Every single one of them to a man. Escobar, you know, Albert Anastasia, all of them.
Yeah, you look at the organized crime began with small so-called petty crime, but then you need a gang to protect your crime. And then next thing you know, you have a gang, so it's a gang, do they do gang things? And then all of a sudden, you have all these problems. So my hope is that everybody is going to the right, and that means if you're a libertarianism like Rand Paul or Tom Massey, who again, I don't want to seem like I'm throwing shade, these are people you can read, 99.9% I say is good. But then law and order comes up, and they suddenly you're like, this little libertarian stuff coming out. No, gentlemen. Your libertarianism is a luxury that can exist only on top of a very strong right-wing enforcement mechanism.
Well, Mike, my man, appreciate you. Come back soon. All right. Now, let's talk about putting our money where our morals are. Speaking about small things. How do we fight? What do we do? Well, there are a million battles we can fight. They're all around us right now. It's not just legal and local. Where do you spend your money? Where do you get your cell phone service from? You get it from T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon? You're funding the companies that hate you, the companies that fund all this greeny nonsense. Why? You don't have to. Now that Pure Talk's here, you don't have to. You're not sacrificing coverage. They're on the same network. They hire Americans. I love that about Pure Talk so much. When you call, you're not dealing with deep somewhere. You can't understand a word he's saying. No, they hire Americans in customer service. When you switch your phone service, you get to speak to a pleasant American. You get to save money. It's easy. You keep your phone. You keep your number. There's no reason not to switch. None. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Plus. Pro Woche bis zu 50 Euro zusätzlich sparen. Mit der Netto Plus App. 10% Rabatt auf deinen Einkauf sichern. Dazu Payback-Punkte sammeln und sparen. Mach mehr Plus mit der Netto Plus App.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so what's going on with all the lawfare stuff, Jack Smith, New York City, the insanity out there? I don't even know why we have to talk about this. I thought all this stuff was gone in a way, but, well, maybe it's just fading. Joining me now, my friend, you really need to subscribe to her Substack called Declassified. The great Julie Kelly joins us now. Julie, why are we even talking about these things? I thought all this stuff was gone and done, and by the grace of God, it's over.
Well, I mean, I think that that is the result of the vote in November 5th, 2024, a partial repudiation of this ongoing lawfare against the president, but it's not stopping. So you have Alvin Bragg and Juan Merchan, the judge in the New York case, desperately trying to sentence Donald Trump before he is inaugurated on January 20th. More egregiously, is Jack Smith and Merrick Garland trying to issue a report on the two dead cases against President Trump. Of course, they were both dropped after he won the election, but nonetheless, Jack Smith, Merrick Garland, trying to get their last licks in, their last stabs at Donald Trump before he takes office. So much for a peaceful transfer of power by the Biden regime, as they love to talk about.
Julie, what does that mean, issue a report? Is that just a public smear job? Here's all the dirt we had on him, even though we couldn't get him into prison.
Well, it really is. And as you know, most special counsels issue a report at the conclusion of their work, Robert Hur, John Durham, et cetera, Robert Mueller, except they didn't consist of two unprecedented federal criminal indictments against a former president. Jesse, what more could there possibly be said about Donald Trump in January 6th or Donald Trump in the classified documents case? That case in Florida has over 700 entries on its docket, representing tens of thousands of pages. Of course, the J6 case, which has been dropped, what else do we have to know about that? Plus, the January 6th Select Committee issued an 845-page report. There's nothing more to be said. This is just to muddy up the waters during this transition period and help Jack Smith salvage his destroyed reputation, the biggest loser in DOJ history right there, and do what they possibly can to get the last word on these cases against Donald Trump.
Speaking of January 6th, Jack Smith, Donald Trump came out recently, said this.
You're going to pardon January 6th defendants. Are you planning to pardon those who were charged with violent offenses?
Well, we're looking at it, and we have other people in there. And as you see, I guess 24 or 28 people came now from the FBI. That came out very quietly. Nobody reported it, but they had people in some form related to the FBI. They had four or five people that were strongly related to the FBI. We have to find out about that. People that didn't even walk into the building are in jail right now. So we'll be looking at the whole thing, but I'll be making major pardons, yes.
Julie, that's music to my ears. Not really much on specifics, which I don't blame him for, but sounds good. I know you've been hot on this for a long time. Are you happy?
I am. I think that that is a good start. I do like Donald Trump pivoting a little bit to the stories that the regime media will not cover, such as FBI informants in Washington and at the Capitol on January 6th, or bringing up the unsolved pipe bomber case. So yes, this is a good start. I do expect that there will be some action taken on day one, especially those convicted of low-level misdemeanors. But look, this is urgent, Jesse. They are still arresting people. D.C. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, on the four-year anniversary of January 6th, said that he might charge 200 more people. They sent a man today to federal prison, sentenced to 40 months on civil disorder and two misdemeanors. They are putting a man on trial tomorrow for January 6th. This is not stopping. So while those comments by President Trump are encouraging, personally, I like to see some more specifics because people's lives are still being destroyed at the hands of this DOJ, and they are going to do it just like Jack Smith and Merrick Garland till the very bitter end, 11:59 a.m. on January 20th.
Is Matthew Graves going to be tried? He should be tried. How does this work, Julie?
So I believe he will be under investigation for selective and abusive prosecution, prosecutorial misconduct, especially related to systematically denying the constitutional rights of J6 defendants, withholding exculpatory or Brady material from defendants and from their lawyers. There's a long list of abuses from Matthew Graves, not the least of which is his unlawful application of 1512C2, obstruction of an official proceeding, that was reversed by the Supreme Court. But shockingly, Matthew Graves refuses to issue some sort of blanket vacatur of that 1512C2 conviction. People still in jail on that conviction while he tries to work around the Supreme Court's ruling there. So I think that that is the ripest area for investigation into Matthew Graves among, like I said, a long list of abuses by this DC US attorney.
Julie, let's talk about January 6th, rewind a little bit, FBI, January 6th and the pipe bomber. I'm starting to hear more about the pipe bomber now, not that I'm hopeful we're ever gonna find this crazy individual. What's going on?
So the FBI just all of a sudden decided it would release what they called new footage of the still at large MAGA pipe bomber. And this is supposed to show the public that this individual planted a device outside the DNC the evening of January 5th, the night before. Now, what congressional Republicans, Representative Barry Loudermilk and Tom Massey issued a report the same time the FBI was releasing this new footage, actually beforehand, and it demonstrated that the FBI basically stopped looking into this issue in February of 2021. Now, why is that? How come, Jesse, they can still be arresting people to this day, but they still can't find the person that almost assassinated Kamala Harris when she was inside the DNC and Nancy Pelosi as her motorcade sped by this alleged lethal and viable device, we're told by the FBI, on the afternoon of January 6th.
Yeah, why indeed. Okay, so there are a lot of talks about preemptive pardons. Why does Liz Cheney need one? What crimes did Liz Cheney commit?
Well, let's see. Aside from the obvious, Liz Cheney just being a traitor and her whole family heritage there, what she did in the January 6th Select Committee as vice chairman, we now have evidence, as Loudermilk's committee also uncovered, the destruction of evidence, up to a terabyte of evidence produced by that committee that we paid for, by the way, Jesse. Also, Benny Thompson confirming that all of the videotaped recordings of the depositions of 1,000-plus witnesses were destroyed by this committee. But more importantly, Liz Cheney in hot water for tampering with a witness, Cassidy Hutchinson, using an encrypted chat for these back-channel communications with Cassidy Hutchinson, who then, after being in touch with Liz Cheney, a serial liar, then Cassidy Hutchinson started making up her own stories about what happened, especially in the presidential vehicle that day. Now completely contradicted by everyone associated in the White House that day, including the driver and the security detail inside that vehicle. Obviously, she committed perjury. Liz Cheney very likely suborned perjury, but at the very least obstructed this investigation but with her handling of Cassidy Hutchinson. So, yes. I'm sure she's begging for a blanket pre-pardon from Joe Biden because she is definitely already a target of congressional investigation.
Yeah, let's hope. Julie, as always, thank you, ma'am. All right, we're not done yet. Let's talk a little Russia, Ukraine, another $500 million. Russia Gate. There's a lot of Russia coming with Hans Mahnke. Next.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
USA Today is reporting today that Joe Biden is indeed planning on a preemptive pardon for Anthony Fauci. And that is so interesting. Why in the world would the doctor who led the charge against COVID, why would he need a preemptive pardon? That's quite a thing to give somebody a preemptive pardon. Hey, you're definitely going to get prosecuted for crimes, so I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen to you. Joining me now to talk about that and many, many other things is Hans Mahnke. He is an author of the book Swift Boating America, amongst other things. Hey, Hans, why would Fauci need a pardon?
I think, first of all, because the statute of limitations on his crimes has not expired. There's this five-year limit when if you don't bring charges within 5 years, you can't bring them anymore. Well, most of the stuff that Fauci did in 2020, well, that's still within 5 years. So I think that's probably the biggest concern there.
Okay, what did he do? What crimes?
Yeah, good question. So a lot of people focus on these exchanges he had with Rand Paul in the Senate when he was asked about gain of function. Did you do gain of function and so on? I don't think that qualifies. I mean, yes, colloquially it does. And of course he lied and so on, but we all know how he worms his way around. And if you watch those clips very carefully, and there's several because he did that over and over, he's always very careful to somehow, you know, weasel his way out with words. So I don't think it's that. I think the actual crimes that Fauci committed have to do with the cover-up of COVID's origin, which he was made aware of in January of 2020. And that's not a problem in and of itself. It's the fact that the cover-up that Fauci orchestrated, he began the cover-up, he ran the whole thing. That then caused all these follow-on effects in terms of the response. So everything we saw in terms of the response, you know, with the masks and the lockdowns and the mandates and things like contact tracing and so on, all of that would have been very different if Fauci had been truthful about the fact that this came out of a lab. And the reason is very simple. Normally, all these responses are based on the idea that these viruses come from nature. But viruses that come from nature are not pre-adapted to infect humans. It takes time. So it actually helps to contact trace because then you can cut it off at that point when you found someone, when you traced them and their contacts. Well, in this case, none of that mattered because the lab had perfected the virus for human infection. It was like a wildfire. That's what they set out to do. That was the whole purpose of it. So I think that particular lie, that's the problem. And of course, he didn't only lie to the public about it. I think for in terms of legal consequences, and I have a feeling this is what they're really thinking about, you know, Biden's people there, is Fauci lied to the COVID task force. Remember, Trump had this COVID task force. And Fauci was an original member back in January of 2020. And the task force, those were the people who in the White House were discussing the response. And he lied to them because he didn't tell them about what he knew about the origin. And it, all the other disasters flowed from that.
Okay, so why did he lie, Hans? What was the angle? I always thought this was so odd that he would lie because so many people lied. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday, Central Intelligence Agency actually was paid to change their story on the origins of this whole thing. Why? Why not just come out and say it was a lab in Wuhan studying icky stuff and it got out? Why the lie?
The short version is because Fauci funded that lab. But of course, you know, if you know China and know how things work there and so on, they have a lot of money. It's not the fact that they needed Fauci's money. It's the fact that he funded it, gave the lab NIAID stamp of approval. This is hugely important. All the papers that the lab put out at the bottom, they always wrote, sponsored by NIAID. You know, this is such a huge thing. And with that, that opened all these other doors. Suddenly they were able to access advanced Western biotechnology and all these other things that come with that. So in other words, Fauci enabled the lab. He made the lab what it is. So that's the one side of it. Of course, the other side is, or are these experiments themselves. So you'll recall that there was a moratorium in the United States on gain of function. It was decided this is too dangerous, we can't do this. Well, what did Fauci do? He took those experiments and sent them off to China, to the Wuhan lab. So a combination of those things is probably why he decided he needed to cover up the true origin of this.
Somebody who definitely needs a pardon, but of course she got a Presidential Medal of Freedom, was one Hillary Rodham Clinton. And look, everyone knows the Russian hoax stuff was a hoax now, but a lot of people forget that that hoax began with Hillary, and this is your particular cup of tea.
It is. It is also something very frustrating when you think about it. Now we laugh about, oh, she got a medal or whatever. It's a hugely serious and hugely bad thing that she did. She had this plan to call her opponent a Russian agent. I mean, we all just got to zoom out here and think about that. You call your opponent, the Republican nominee for president, a Russian agent. Now, she, of course, intended it as a smear campaign with two goals. I mean, on the one hand, to distract from her own, you know, email scandal. On the other hand, to dirty up Trump. But the consequences of doing that were so massive. I mean, just think about Trump's hands being tied for his entire 4 years. Anytime he mentioned Russia, or anytime he wanted to meet Putin, or anytime he said anything about any of those things, Ukraine-Russia relations, anything at all, boom, you know, the media exploded, you know, he couldn't do anything. So they basically criminalized diplomacy, especially pertaining to Russia. And we see the effects now, you know, with the Ukraine war and many, many other things, bifurcation of the world order, and so on and so forth. All of that started with Hillary Clinton's Russia hoax. So it wasn't just, you know, ordinary kind of smear that you have in the campaign season. It was so much worse than that. And of course, the other part of it is that she fabricated, or her operatives fabricated evidence, literally, not like just, you know, made it up or whatever, literally just fabricated it in terms of this Alpha Bank trail, where they fabricated evidence of a IT connection between Trump and Putin and all this kind of stuff. Okay, fabricate stuff, fine. But then they took that stuff and gave it to the FBI because they wanted to trigger an investigation of their opponent. I mean, just think of all those things, you know, just zoom out and just think about that. And the fact that she now got this medal, which is, by the way, the highest civilian honor anyone can get, is just beyond belief.
Speaking of the FBI, they were involved and they still are involved in covering this whole thing up, aren't they?
They certainly are. We have some news in terms of, they just released, after a long, you know, back and forth. They always try and hold on to all these documents for as long as possible. So like 8 years on, it's been 8 years, and they finally released the document with which they opened the investigation into Donald Trump, the sitting president. That's often forgotten. It wasn't just like an investigation of his campaign, or, you know, these other characters, whatever. All of that was made up. All of that was fake. But it's even worse than that. They went after Donald Trump himself. They opened an investigation into him personally. Now, most of that is redacted. Now, I'd like to know what it says. How dare they open an investigation into the president? I mean, there's so many problems with that. I mean, the first one is, they're saying they're doing it on national security grounds. Well, where does their power come from? Who decides those things? Well, the president does. The FBI is basically, you know, derives its powers from the president. He's the only, according to the Constitution, the only elected person in the entire executive branch. Everything, you know, flows from the president. So what were they doing? Now, of course, we know what they were doing. They were trying to take him down. And the particular point of opening that investigation to Trump is to get a special counsel appointed. That was really what it was about, because Trump's own DOJ, you know, when I say own, we all know this, it was full of these, you know, Clinton and Obama holdovers and so on. But if you have the president himself being investigated by his own DOJ, well, that calls for a special counsel. So that's why they did that. And that's how we got Mueller.
Hans, of course, we're sending another $500 million to Ukraine, which is insane. But you just did a piece comparing Ukraine to Vietnam. What's going on?
I love Vietnam. I love visiting there. I hadn't been for a long time, so I went back recently, stayed for quite a while. Just love traveling around the country. It's just so wonderful, especially the people. And, you know, you meet everyone, and they love Americans, which is, you know, kind of weird in a way, but it's very genuine. And what just struck me is all the same mistakes that were made. Vietnam and the U.S. should have never had a war. Just, you know, should have never done. And, you know, the piece explains this in far more detail. But if you think about it, what's the U.S. doing in Ukraine? And then you come up with all these kind of parallels, and it already culminated. There's a museum in Saigon where basically the Vietnamese are displaying all the left-behind equipment that the Americans left behind. And they do it without commentary. It speaks for itself. It's so powerful. And you're there and you're thinking, you know, this was all so totally senseless. And yet the same thing is happening in Ukraine. Essentially, you know, these are, in Vietnam, they had old beef to do with French colonialism and all that kind of stuff going back 100 plus years. Well, Ukrainians and Russians have old beef. Ukraine is a country that's basically split along language lines, is partly Russian and partly Ukrainian. There are regional and local problems. Every time the U.S. has decided to get involved in one of those issues, you know, it hasn't ended well. And so, you know, just going to Vietnam and seeing it, just really, you know, that hit home again.
Yeah. Hans, appreciate you very much, my friend. Come back soon. All right, we're not done. Lighten the mood. Next.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the men who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor: Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first Black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. By the way, do not forget to go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. I want to make sure I give credit to Charlie Behrens and Billy Deuce for this little skit, but man, I'll tell you what, it's about dads and talking with everybody. My father, God rest his soul, after he passed, we would bounce around town to just tell various people, you know, the taco shop, the gun store, the farm. We'd tell people that he was gone, and it blew me away that he had apparently talked to everybody in town. Everybody knew him. The people all over town started crying when we told him. It's just dads, those old school types, they have a way of making friends everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll have what he's having. What are you getting into here?
Got some peppers going.
I was doing the hot peppers last year, but I got tired of
sleeping
on
the Davenport.
Well,
what's your name?
Dick.
Chuck. I got a great walleye I got to show you.
That reminds me, I can show you a picture of my nephew.
I don't want to see your nephew. Show me a fish. They actually have some nice sales on the deer blinds. You want to go check them out?
Just give me one sec here. I just got to take my pill. Do you need a baby aspirin?
That'd be good,
yeah,
actually.
I got a couple in the pocket here.
Yeah, it keeps the ticker ticking.
Oh, yeah. I got some Viagra in the car. I don't know if you need any of that.
Hello.
Yeah. I'll be right out.
Sorry, my wife's in the car. We have the same wife. She cheating on me. Do you like World War II?
Oh, sure.
We'll have to get together, have a couple of beers. I'll show you some of the new books I got.
Maybe we could clean the garage and listen to AM radio.
Oh, sure. That sounds good.
You have a baby aspirin? I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.